Well, good morning, and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. And it's made even more beautiful by all of the poinsettias that you can see. There we go. And glad everyone's here. You'll notice in your bulletin a list of the names of those who sponsored poinsettias. So we appreciate all of you. And a few announcements. Today, our pageant will resume. We took a one-year hiatus last year, but we're back at it. And we think that pageant was first performed in 1919. So this is a long-standing tradition. The participants will gather at 3:30 to rehearse their parts, and then everyone is welcome to come and see the pageant at 5 p.m. today. Afterwards, if you haven't had enough music, go on down to Mississippi Cultural Crossroads under the sign of the Red Goose Shoes at 6 o'clock, and there will be a singing Christmas tree. Now, I don't know why I got picked to be the top of the tree, but I did, and so whether I see you all or not, you will see me at the top of the tree. And there will be a lot of music and a lot of fun, so plan to come and cap off the evening that way. Now, we will not have worship in this space next week. Instead, we're encouraging everyone to join the Methodist Church for their service of lessons and carols on the 26th at 9 a.m. There will also be opportunities for worship throughout the week. The Methodist Church is continuing their Advent series on Tuesday. Reverend Paul McDonald will have the program at noon, and then there will be a lunch following. And then there will be an evening worship service there as well at 5 p.m. on December 24, Christmas Eve. And I think the Episcopal Church is having a Christmas Eve service as well. Is that at 6? Six. Okay, so you go to the Methodist Church at 5, you go to the Episcopal Church at 6 on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, you get the day off, and then the day after Christmas, you go to the Methodist Church at 9 a.m. Everybody got it? Good. Well, let's be called to worship with these words. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the Son of Mary. Let's worship our God as we stand and sing his praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, in this season, so many of us are hassled and hurried, others are frazzled and frustrated. And even when we come to worship during this wondrous season of the year, we find it hard to focus our hearts and our minds on you, much less to rejoice at the gift of the Christ child. So today we ask that you would pull us aside, that you would remind us of the message the angels bring, that you have sent your only Son into the world to save us. Fill our hearts with your Spirit so that we might respond in faith, in hope, and in love for you and for one another. For we come in the name of the babe in the manger, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnal. Our responsive reading today comes from the back of the hymnal, selection 614. 614. This comes from Micah's prophecy. Micah wrote about the same time that Isaiah did. So he wrote these words some 600 or so years before Jesus was born. I'll read the light-faced print and encourage you all to respond with the bold. You can also find the words in your online order of service. Let's read these portions of God's word responsively. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide for strong nations afar off. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted. And the lame I will make the remnant, and those who were cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. Who is a God like thee, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. That's the way Micah described the reign of the Messiah who would come to save his people. Let's rejoice that he has come, turning in our hymnals to selection 113 as we join the angels singing praise to the God who has given us a Redeemer. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn 113. You can also find the words in your online order of service. Let us stand to sing. to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Let's say what we believe about this God using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They're found inside the front cover of your hymnal or in your online order of service. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seated. And I could have sworn we would have some little kids today to do a children's message, but we didn't. The littlest one we've got is Hadley, and I think she's about as tall as I am, so we'll have a brief update, Minute for Mission. Diego Mora, of course, is our good friend, and he is the a pastor in the Second Presbyterian Church in Natal in northeast Brazil. And his presbytery, the Presbytery of the Northeast, has had their stated meeting in December, just as we have our stated meeting in January. And he has some news, because some of the folks that we have been supporting through seminary through the years are taking that next step towards ordination. He says Givinaldo Mura, Luciel Diaz, Lucia Ambrosio, and Jaime Melo all have taken this next step. They have been approved for a period of evaluation to become pastors. Another who has been a church planter, Wilson Jr., took his ordination vows. So he is now ordained, and he is serving a new church plant in the Natal area called Esperanza. Lucia is one of the seminary students we supported last year, and she is serving a church in a town called Cabedelo. Luciel Diaz was a missionary serving in one of the new church developments, and now he is serving as an assistant pastor to Pastor Hubens at Third Pres in Natal. And so we can see the fruit of not only our labors, but their labors, the partnership that has enabled these young people to take that next step towards ordination. It's a wonderful thing to see God raising up leaders in his church here and abroad. And so as we prepare for our time of prayer, let's take up our hymnals, and we'll turn to selection 121. Selection 121, we'll sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, and we'll sing all four stanzas. So let us stand to sing.
Sleep, a silent star's go by.
may be seated. Emmanuel, God with us. We've already begun our prayer time by asking the Lord to come to us and abide with us. So with the confidence of children of God, with the confidence of those who know we have come into the very presence of the Lord, let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you have answered our prayers, that you have come to be with us in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all of the songs and all of the parties and all of the beautiful decorations that remind us of this wonderful good news that many of us have heard, well, before we can even remember when we heard it. Lord, we thank you that you have given us all these gifts. We thank you that you have also allowed us to partner with others so that others may come to know this good news. You have allowed us not only to stand with the shepherds and hear what the angels sing, you have allowed us to join our voices with those of the angels, telling the world that the Messiah has come, the Son of God is born, and he has come to save us. Lord, we thank you for all of the candidates who are under care of our presbytery. We thank you for all of the church planting that is going on within our presbytery, and we pray for our church planters today as they are proclaiming your word this morning. We pray for Brett Becker and Quest Church in New Braunfels, Texas. We pray for Christian Kreider and the All Souls Church in Austin, Texas. We pray for Ben Cunningham and the Church of the Resurrection in New Orleans, and we pray for Nathan Cotton and the Haven Church in Katy, Texas. Lord, we pray for our partners in ministry in Brazil, and we thank you for these who have taken the next step towards the path of ordination. We pray, O Lord, for their ministry. We pray for their continued preparation, that you would build them up and help them to always do your will. We pray for Givinaldo and Luciel and Lucia and Jaime. We thank you for their hard work. We pray for Wilson Jr. And we pray for the church plant called Esperanza. Lord, we ask that you would bless all of these and all of our seminary students and all of our church planters in Northeast Brazil. Lord, help us also to use every opportunity that you give us during this holiday season to tell the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that is in great need, to many who need to hear the good news that Jesus has come to save us. For we offer this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I suppose it's no surprise that our scripture reading today comes from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. We'll read the first 20 verses, and this is the very familiar story of how the angels announced the birth of Christ and what the shepherds saw when they went to the stable. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 20. This is the word of the Lord. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. That is God's word. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. It all sounds so pastoral, so romantic. We see the scene on Christmas cards. We hear that glorious version that the King James Bible presents to us. But in reality, it was just working the night shift. Except that there wasn't anybody to take over for the day shift. No, in those days, if you were a shepherd, you were on duty 24/7, 365. No matter the weather. But it also didn't matter what came upon you, because you see, whether the sheep belonged to the shepherds or not, the shepherds were responsible for driving off whatever predators came calling. Now, how would you like to face down a wolf or a mountain lion with only a staff? I didn't think so. Oh, and the shepherds also had to protect the sheep from the sheep's own stupidity. I am told that sheep have a tendency to wander off and fall in holes and do things like that. Wow, sounds like a great job, doesn't it? Well, maybe you feel the same way about your job. Or about your life in general. Maybe you're bored out of your skull, as those shepherds must have been, staring out into the darkness for hours and hours and hours. Maybe you're just tired of the same old, day after day. Maybe you don't have any real hope for advancement or even for much of a change. Oh, and when you get home from work, the news isn't much better, whether it be on our TV screens or our tablets or our cell phones. Yet another coronavirus variant has case numbers and hospitalizations and panic increasing. Cargo ships are bobbing helplessly off the California coast while many store shelves remain frustratingly empty. Debts and deficits are skyrocketing, but no one wants his taxes to go up and nobody wants his benefits to be reduced. Congressmen are at each other's throats, and no one seems to have a clue about how to fix any part of this mess. Well, if the shepherds could understand our frustration at life in general, Joseph could certainly understand our frustration with dysfunctional government. After all, Joseph had to pack up and travel some 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem just to satisfy the whims of the Romans who were occupying the land of Israel. But that wasn't really anything new for God's people, was it? All through the Old Testament, they had been conquered over and over by different powerful kingdoms. For hundreds of years, they had been longing for their Messiah to come and do what Micah promised, to come and drive out their oppressors. They had been waiting for the Son of Man to appear and to bring peace and justice, just like we read in our responsive reading. And in the midst of our modern political gridlock, maybe you're waiting for the same sort of thing. Maybe you're waiting for someone to stand up and make everybody else sit down and behave. Maybe you're just looking for an adult in the room. Frustration. Or maybe you're disappointed this Christmas. Maybe you're disappointed because you can't provide for your loved ones the way you would like to. And I think Joseph would understand that. I mean, Mary was great with child, which means she was far along in her pregnancy, but he was helpless to protect her from having to take this stupid, pointless, and for her, doubtless, painful trip. Oh, and the journey was probably dangerous as well, as travel often was in the ancient world. The highways were plagued with robbers. And once Joseph and Mary got to Bethlehem, Joseph apparently had neither the wealth nor the reputation that could command a suitable resting place for his wife. A barn was the best he could do. Having a hard time providing for your family, Joseph would understand. Or maybe this Christmas you are far away from some of your loved ones, either physically or emotionally. Maybe you feel alone. Mary and Joseph would understand, wouldn't they? I mean, sure, Bethlehem may have been Joseph's ancestral home, but he didn't have any family left there, at least not any that were close enough that he could presume upon their hospitality, even for his wife who was ready to give birth. No, all their real friends and loved ones were way back in Nazareth. Mary would not have her mama with her when she gave birth for the first time. You want to talk about lonely? Mary and Joseph knew about lonely. Or maybe you're just exhausted this Christmas. Maybe you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I think Mary would understand. The 90 miles or so she and Joseph had traveled, that'd be like walking to Natchez and back. Now, how many of you ladies would like to do that in the last month of a pregnancy? I didn't think so. Worse yet, Mary was already worn out from that long and hard trip. And then the time came for her to give birth to her first child with no epidural, probably no midwife. All she had was Joseph. And after it was all over, Mary didn't have a comfortable or even a clean place to rest. Oh, her baby's conception may have been a miracle, but she was still hurting, and she was still in a stinky barn because she and Joseph were still poor, because they were still living under a callous, tyrannical foreign government. And the only people who showed them any kindness after the end of that terrible day were those shepherds on the night shift. losers. That's what the whole lot of them were, at least in the eyes of the world. And maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe in spite of all the parties and all the tinsel and all the glitter, or maybe even because of all of that, you feel like a loser. You feel like you've been left out in the cold. Maybe you're tired of grieving or tired of hurting, tired of being lonely, tired of being sick, or tired of wondering how in the world you're ever going to get out of the mess that you found yourself in. Maybe you feel like a loser today. Well, if you do, Christmas is for you. This story is for you. Because think about it. To whom did God choose to announce the good news of the birth of His Son? It wasn't to Caesar Augustus in his palace in Rome. It wasn't to King Herod in his elaborate fortress only a few miles from Bethlehem. It wasn't to the priests in the temple. It wasn't to the scribes who knew the scriptures so well. It was to the losers. To Joseph and Mary and the shepherds on the night shift. And the same thing is true today. People who think they have it all together usually have little interest in Bethlehem's babe. That's why Jesus was much more popular with the tax collectors than he ever was with the Pharisees. In fact, Jesus made it clear. He hadn't come to call those who thought they were righteous. He said, I have come to call those who are sinners to repentance. It's those who know we are losers who have always been more willing to listen to the Lord. But God wasn't satisfied with just announcing the good news to losers like us. No, in the person of Jesus Christ, God came to be with us. God came to share in our poverty and our oppression and our pain and our loneliness. God came to be with us. In the midst of our dead-end situations and our frustrations and our fears. And because Jesus Christ has come to share in all of these things, because Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be a loser, when we take our problems to Him in prayer, we can be sure that He knows what we're going through. What a wonderful comfort that is at Christmas time and really all throughout the year. Yes, Christmas is for losers. Okay, but why doesn't Jesus do something about all these problems, preacher? Instead of coming as a helpless baby, instead of having to share in all of his parents' sorrows, why didn't the Messiah show up in the way everybody expected him to? Why didn't he descend from heaven in a fiery chariot? Why didn't he flash like a blaze of glory across the sky? Why didn't he command all those angels who were shouting his praise to drive the Roman legions back into the Mediterranean Sea? Well, how did the shepherds react when they saw a sight like that? When they saw the sky filled with an army of powerful messengers from God? They were sore afraid, which is the King James way of saying they were filled with fear. They just couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle being in the presence of what Luke calls the glory of the Lord. And they weren't alone. If you look back through the scriptures, you will find that whenever the glory of the Lord shows up, people have the same reaction. When God came to the top of Mount Sinai, the people of Israel said, Moses, you go up and talk to God. We can't handle it. In this very book of the Bible, back in chapter 1, when the priest Zechariah saw Gabriel, when the Virgin Mary saw Gabriel, they were both afraid when he showed up. That is because human weakness cannot endure the presence of divine power. Human sin cannot endure the presence of divine holiness. And yet, when the shepherds showed up at the stable, they somehow managed to gaze not on an angel of God, but to gaze on God Himself, because that's who the baby in the manger is. They could draw near to God. They could draw near to Jesus without fear, because in Christ, God somehow has cloaked His power and His holiness in flesh. God has revealed His glory to us in a way that we can behold, even if we don't fully understand. But the angel told the shepherds, if the baby had to come in this way, the angel told the shepherds that this baby had in fact come to solve all their problems, even if not in the way they had expected. Yes, He had been born to powerless, impoverished parents, but He was the Messiah. He was the long-awaited Son of David. He was the one who was going to rule over all the earth forever. Somehow, this ordinary-looking baby was the Lord, God Almighty, the infant lying in a feed box for animals, was somehow the Savior of the world. Somehow, the one who was going to do what Micah predicted, who would bring peace between God and the earth. Somehow, this homeless, poor child would extend God's grace and God's goodwill even to losers, even to sinners like us. That's what the angel said. Now, the shepherds had no real proof that any of this was going to happen, even on that night. All they could see was a baby lying in a manger. Moreover, at the end of the story, the circumstances of their lives had not changed at all by their encounter with the angels. They were still on the night shift. They were still working the same long hours for the same low wages. They still had the same little prospect for advancement. Mary and Joseph, they were still poor. They were still living in a barn. They were still living under the oppression of the Roman government. They were all still losers in the sight of the world. But as the shepherds headed back to their sheep, they were glorifying and praising God. How could they do that? How could such poor, powerless people be so joyful? How can we rejoice in this Christmas season with all of the stuff in our lives? Well, they could rejoice not just because of what they had heard the angels say. For how many others have heard the Christmas story and refused to believe it? And you know, it wasn't even just because they had seen the baby. We've all seen babies. It was the connection they made between what they heard and what they saw. Remember, the angels told them they were going to find that baby in a manger. The angels told them that to give them a sign, to give them proof that what the rest of the angels said was also true. So when the shepherds did see that improbable sight, a baby in a feed box? Really? When they saw that, they believed the rest of the angel's message. They believed that this baby was, all appearances to the contrary, this baby was the Messiah. This baby was the Lord. And so they rejoiced because they trusted that God would keep the rest of the promises they had just heard. They rejoiced in the hope that this baby was going to grow up and was going to be their ruler and was going to be their Savior. Even if they couldn't see their salvation just yet, they rejoiced in hope. So what about us? We've heard the story time and time again. We've sung the songs. We've enjoyed the feast. We see the beautiful decorations. But we may still feel like losers. Tired, hurting, poor, lonely, frustrated, discouraged, maybe all the above. Like the shepherds, like Mary and Joseph, we may still be waiting for the difficult circumstances of our lives to change, and we may not see much improvement anytime soon. But we've heard the story. We've heard what the angels told the shepherds. We've heard that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, was born to Mary on that first Christmas. Moreover, because we've read the end of the book, we also know how God planned for Jesus to save the world. For we know Jesus did not just come to share in our sufferings, He came to suffer for us. We know Jesus came to bring forgiveness to us by dying for us, by taking on Himself the penalty that all our sins deserve. And we know, we have heard, that He came to bring new life to us by rising from the dead on the third day, by ascending into heaven. We have heard His promise to fill all who trust in Him with the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have heard His promise to come again, His promise to take His people to Himself, His promise to bring perfect and complete justice to the world. We've heard it all. We know the story. We know what the prophets foretold. We know what the angels and the apostles have said. We have seen the evidence of Jesus' birth, His life, His death, His resurrection. We know what Jesus has promised to do. We've heard the story. So that means the same choice faces us that faced those shepherds so long ago. Will we choose to believe only what we see with our eyes, only what makes sense to us? Will we allow reality to be dictated by the circumstances of our lives? That's just a baby. Those are just poor parents. What in the world difference could he possibly make? We can go along our climbing way with painful steps and slow. We can focus only on what we can see. We can go on acting like a bunch of losers. Or we can remember what the angels said. We can trust the promises that God has made to us. No matter what the world may say, no matter how little sense it makes, will we trust what God has said? Will we trust Mary's baby as the Savior? Will we bow the knee to this child as our Messiah, as our Lord? Will we rejoice in His crucifixion and resurrection and ascension? Will we look forward with hope to His justice and His mercy at His return? We have heard what the angels have said. Will we believe them? Let us pray. Lord, the urgency of our lives is so great. The pressure of all of our problems is so heavy. It's so easy, Lord, for us to just focus on what we can see. Help us instead to raise our eyes to the heavens, to hear what the angels have said, to hear what the prophets have said, to hear what the apostles have told us, to hear what Jesus said. Help us to remember Your promises and to trust in You, even today, even here, even now. Help us, Lord, to listen to what the angels have sung. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's do that. Let's listen again to the angels as we turn in our hymnals to selection 104. As we sing all four stanzas of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," we'll stand to sing God's praise. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. May we believe what the angel said, no matter how little sense it makes this week, that God has given us a Savior. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.